which comes from the book of Genesis chapter 16. If you've got a church Bible in front of you, I think it must be page 16. This is a very popular story. Some of us who went through Sunday school, we heard this story during our Sunday school days. But here it comes again. Repetition makes everything perfect. If you repeat a thing to a child, they will learn so quickly. I will start to read. It starts on verse 1 to 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children, so sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took the Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I am running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the Lord, the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lohai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. A very popular story that we know. With this story today, I said my theme is going to be avoid shortcuts. I'm reminded recently when we visited a friend of ours with Jania. We were driving on the motorway, and the two motorways were divided by a fence in between. And he told me that one day when he was driving along that motorway, he saw someone crawling under the fence to try to cross the road over the other side. Just imagine, as you are putting your head under the fence, there are cars coming from the other side. The fortunate thing is, no incident happened. But shortcuts are dangerous. They lead to death or destruction. Nothing happened on that day, but he was just telling us a story. So, today we find this young lady called Sarai wanting to make shortcuts for the Lord. It ended up in a disaster. So I want to tell you today, avoid shortcuts at all cost. So always watch out for shortcuts and avoid them. And recently, again, another story that happened to me. My daughter was driving in Asda car park. So we parked in the car park. The bay in front of us was empty. There was no car. Normally, when you drive out of a bay, you reverse. But my daughter didn't reverse. She went right through as we were about to go. I said to my daughter, whoa, hold on, you are bashing someone's car. She said, no, Dad, there's no car. I said, no. In your imagination, imagine there's a car there. So do the right thing. Reverse and do it properly. Avoid shortcuts. They are dangerous. In life, we must always try to avoid shortcuts because they will bring disaster in our lives. I just want to remind you that Abraham was thinking at this time, he's now 85 years, his wife is 70 years old. They are thinking, God promised an heir through us. Because Abraham was told by God in chapter 15, if you remember, God said, an heir will come from your body. But now they are 85 years old. The wife is 70. Maybe they think, I think God has forgotten about what he told us. I want to remind you, God doesn't forget his promises that he has for you. So bear that in mind. Suddenly, Sarai has got plan B for her husband. She goes and tells Abraham what to do. That community, that's all right. But not in today's community. Hagar, who was a slave girl to Sarai. She was a slave girl, not a wife. But all of a sudden, Sarai has got plan B. Because she thinks God has forgotten about the promise that he promised to Abraham. She jumps in to be the go-between. She short circuits God's promise and says to the husband, you sleep with my slave or with my maid, maybe an heir might come from there. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't need to be aided by us, but God aids us because of his promise. We don't have a promise for God, but God has got a promise for us. So we should wait for God's promise as he has promised us. But it's done in his time, not in our time. But Sarai thought, well, let me help my husband so that he has an heir. Wow. Here are the problems of shortcuts. One, in this chapter, we see pride. The other thing, we see jealousy. The other thing, we see misery. The other thing, we see injustice. So today I will speak more of the injustice in this chapter. We start with Sarai. She gives her maid to her husband. The Bible doesn't tell us whether the maid was in agreement with this, or maybe because it was an abuse. As a worker, you obey your master when they tell you what to do, because they pay you. But in that scenario, I think she was just a slave. Slaves don't get paid. She says, take my maid and make her your wife. What is Hagar saying at this moment? Is she in agreement with this? This text, as you read it, it doesn't tell us that Hagar agreed to that. The mistress said, go and do this. And she did. There's no justice there. There's no justice at all. Well, someone might say the community of those days, the biblical community, they were allowed to have more wives. Fair and fine. I can agree with that as well. Because we read so many people having many wives. Solomon had many wives. David had many wives. But in this juncture, Hagar doesn't agree. She's told to do. Go and be Abraham's wife. There are some people among our societies, if they've got a lot of money, they abuse that money. Especially by luring young girls for their enjoyment, luring young boys for their enjoyment because they've got money. That's abuse. There's no justice there. You are using your wealth for something that is not proper. There's no justice there. I hope there's no one who is doing injustice to their workers here as I'm talking. Because workers, they've got nothing to give to you besides to obey what you are telling them. So, Hagar, in that situation of being abused, she agreed to do what Sarai had told her. But justice was being eluded there. In verse 5, the abuse now changes hands. Now Hagar, because she knows that she's pregnant now, she's now the one returning fire to Sarai. She's despising her mistress. Wow. So abuse is going backwards and forth. At the beginning, it was Hagar who was being abused by being given to Abraham to be Abraham's wife. Now, because she feels she's pregnant now, she knows, well, I'm better off than this barren woman. So she starts despising her mistress. Injustice. There's no justice in all those things that are taking place right now. Sometimes when we feel control is being taken away from us, we become jealousy. We feel the heat, so we want to act. The same applies to Sarai. She was feeling now, oh, now control is going to get away from my hands. She goes to Abraham and say, it's your fault. Hold on here. How can it be Abraham's fault? Wasn't it Sarai who said, take Hagar, my servant, and make her your wife? Now, he's being blamed for something he didn't do. We all do it. Sometimes we blame other people for our own mistakes. Sometimes we need to own for the mistakes that we've made before we blame other people. Because Hagar now, she cannot hold it. The heat is too much. She flees away. In verse 7, we read that when she ran away, the angel of God met her near the spring in the desert. And she spoke to her. Go back to your mistress. I think in her mind she was thinking, should I go back to all that abuse that I suffered at the hands of those two? But she didn't refuse. But I want to say, in your mind right now, think of those people from Iraq, from Syria, from all over, who have actually come to this country or other country to seek refuge. And the government says, go back to where you come from. Yeah, that's painful. You imagine to go back to that situation and you are going to be abused. It's a difficult situation. If that happens, justice is eluding you. But here, the angel of God is speaking to Hagar to go back to your mistress. To sort out things. Don't run away from problems when they are facing you. Sort them out. Sort them out. If there's a Hagar here this morning who is running away from problems somewhere, the Lord is saying, go back and sort those problems. So Hagar agreed without arguing and she went back. But before she went back, the angel said, I'm going to increase your descendants. Hold on. Before you go, you are going to have a son. You are going to have a son. If you have a son who is the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got life. You agree with me? If you've got a son who is Jesus Christ, you've got life. So Hagar agrees and goes back. The angel commands Hagar to go back, and she does. We are not told how she was received. And Sarai is now out of sight. We only hear Abraham. The story is now talking about Abraham. As I was preparing this sermon, what came to my mind is what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. It says this, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. This is the point that we should learn here. One thing we should know is don't run away from problems. Solve those problems. For the workers, this is what we learn here. Obey your masters. I know as workers, you don't have anything that you can stand on because you want your wage after doing some work. But it's the respect that you give to your workers, to your bosses. Fear them like you are fearing Christ. Work for them as you are working for Christ. These days, workers have got a right. Some have formed unions. Some, when the heat is too much, they apply for another job and leave that company because they can do it. But that doesn't solve the problem. What about to the new company where you are going and you encounter the same problem? What will you do? That's why the angel is saying, Hagar, go back and go and sort your problems. Another lesson also, Paul writes again in Ephesians, the same Ephesians, this time not to the worker, but to the bosses. He says this, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So it's both ways. Relationships work both ways so that we have justice in the end. There's no shortcuts here. We've got to do it the proper way. Respect your bosses. They will respect you. Right? For all those who are at work, respect your bosses. They will respect you. Not to dangle a carrot in front of your workers. If you do hard work, I will increase your wages. No. Just respect your workers because they are doing a good job. Avoid doing shortcuts because it brings disaster. Hagar was told to go back to her mistress. I want to change the word mistress this morning and I want to put master. If you are a Hagar who is running away from your master, who is Jesus Christ, I'm saying go back to your master, Jesus Christ. He loves you. But the most important thing is we must learn to own up our mistakes. I like what Abraham and Sarai did here. They started afresh. Though Sarai is not mentioned, but we see what Abraham is doing now. When Hagar gave birth, he is in action. He takes action. He takes care. He names that son Ishmael. This was a message given to Hagar by the angel to go and tell Abraham that when you give birth, this son must be named Ishmael. Wow. So Abraham, Hagar, they've reconciled with one another. There's good relationship here. I'm speaking about reconciliation right now in front of you. I'm speaking of harmony. Wherever you are, don't run away from problems. Go back and negotiate. Go back and reconcile with one another. Avoid shortcuts. Go and reconcile with one another. Sometimes the mistake we make is trying to fulfill God's promises. No. God will fulfill his promises to you, not the other way around. God doesn't need you to aid him. You need to be aided by God because he's the one who gave that promise for whatever you need. And he will supply you in his time, not our time. I want to leave this with you. God will fulfill those promises that he has made for you. Ask for the great I am. He sees and hears and he will do that. Amen? Ask for the great I am. He sees and hears. Hagar said those words. Above all, I want to repeat this to you. Own it up and admit your mistakes. The Lord will forgive you. In 1 John 1 verse 9, he says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. So my brothers and sisters, avoid shortcuts and say, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. So we will sing that hymn. It's not our intelligence, it's not our ability, but God himself will guide us. Let's stand up together and sing our closing hymn.